I think it's fair to say that cracking down on illegal ivory sales is probably not a high priority for many Egyptians. At the moment, their country is still right in the middle of a difficult political transition. Today, hundreds of Egyptians marched on Parliament to demand a quicker transition from military rule to democracy. They also demanded faster trials for those accused of committing human rights abuses under the pre-revolution Mubarak regime. But pro-democracy activists are not the only ones calling for a new respect for human rights in Egypt. So are foreign domestic workers in the country, as Julia Simon reports from Cairo.
In the basement of the Indonesian embassy, a 28-year-old woman I'll call Susan sits on a mattress in her polyester pajamas. I ask her how much money she made in the 9 years she was a domestic worker in Egypt. She slaps her hands together. None at all, she says.
Year after year, I asked for my wages. But my employer said later. For 9 years. I feel sad and depressed because I came from Indonesia to work for my family. I am the breadwinner of my family.
Susan was locked inside an Egyptian house for most of the past decade. Sometimes her employers didn't give her food. Sometimes they beat her. Without money or contacts, she was afraid to escape.
My employers knew that I was here alone. They knew for 9 years that I was heartbroken.
But last September, her employers took her on a trip with them to the beach, and she got an opportunity.
I ran away along the beach to the police.
Susan says she had been so isolated that when she first arrived at the embassy, she didn't know that there had been a revolution in Egypt. She thought Hosni Mubarak was still president. Now she's one of five former domestic workers taking shelter while she seeks her unpaid wages.
When I got to the embassy, I called my family. They thought I was dead. My sister didn't recognize my voice. My mother, too. She didn't recognize my voice.
Susan laughs as she washes dishes with some of the other women in the embassy kitchen. Ironically, the revolution that Susan didn't know had happened may turn out to be good for her. Ali Andika Wardawan works for the Indonesian embassy, and he says these days he and his colleagues have more mobility within the Egyptian government to help workers like Susan prosecute their abusive employers.
Now we are having a direct contact with the prosecutor's office. Only by after revolution. Before revolution, we didn't establish that contact yet. But now we do have the contact, direct contact with them, and we coordinate on things that matters to the migrant workers.
But Susan and the others are getting help only because their cases are so egregious and fall under Egypt's new law against human trafficking. The country's labor law still doesn't recognize domestic workers. In a villa in a wealthy suburb of Cairo, two Filipino women dance to children's music with some toddlers. The toddler's father, a businessman who spoke to me on the condition that I wouldn't use his name, employs three Filipinos to clean and care for the kids. They make about $400 a month, a lot of money in Egypt. Susan, had she gotten paid, would have only made $120. The businessman says having foreign domestic help is an open secret in Egypt.
I wouldn't mind signing a contract, but I cannot sign a contract with someone who's working illegally because it's a student visa and they're not allowed to work anyways.
Their illegal status is why domestic workers are so susceptible to abuse, says Hossam Baaget. He's the director of the Egyptian Initiative for Personal Rights, and his group advocates changing Egypt's discriminatory labor code.
Effectively, it removes this entire profession, this entire group of men and women completely outside the realm of any legal protection.
And no one knows how many foreign domestic workers actually live here. Estimates range anywhere from 5,000 to 80,000. Back at the Indonesian embassy, Susan says while she's sad about her experience in Egypt, she's not desperate. She's got a new lawyer. And as soon as she gets her money, Susan hopes to return to Indonesia and get married. As for her former employers, if they're not punished, she fears for the next Indonesian they might hire. For The World, I'm Julia Simon, Cairo.